goes high towards the play there. Walsh got there ahead of him though. Moncair plays it back in again. And no offside. And Taylor has scored. And that surely means it's the Premier League for Swindon Town now.
Hello and welcome to the Washbag Podcast. I'm Ron Smith. I'm hosting for the first time tonight. Joined this time by Sam Mooreshead, sports reporter, chief of sports reporter, Sam.
Right.
Swindon Advertiser. Hi, Sam.
Hi, Ron.
And also joined by podcast newbie, Steve Myton.
Hello.
Hi, Steve. It's been an interesting couple of weeks. We haven't had a podcast since, I think, sort of January. Lots happened since then. We should have had one a lot earlier. Various things have happened. Paolo Di Canio's left. And lots of other stuff you don't really need me to say. But starting off with last night, had match against Crewe. It was good to see Swindon finally coming back into some form after a couple of weeks of looking like they were going to be in relegation form. And thankfully, we weren't down that end of the table. But Sam, what do you make of the football last night?
I thought the first half was the best first half performance since Tranmere, just before Christmas. They finally managed to get their heads about themselves and started playing some football. It was much of the football that Paolo Di Canio would have produced, strangely. They went to balls down the channel, balls to feet, and having players running off each other, whereas before, especially the last three games prior, it was a lot of ugly, hopeful and hopeless football. So I think everyone was relieved to see them back in form and scoring goals, because I think a lot of people had forgotten what it was like to see a goal go in. Mm-hmm. And people who only managed to get to the home games had forgotten what it's been like to win a game at home since January the 19th. So I think all in all, from a playing point of view, it put a few smiles on faces where perhaps there have been quite a lot of frowns recently.
Yeah. And Steve, it was good to see a couple of goals finally at the County Grounds.
Yeah, quite good ones as well. I mean, it was a strange feeling really, obviously seeing the goals go in. It's been quite a while to see multiple goals on one occasion, so yeah, that was very nice. Thought the minutes applause for Andy Rowland went well as well, 9 minutes. Didn't know what was going on myself.
I forgot. And it was a really interesting game because there was you know, that start for Swindon was so frenetic, so much intensity at that start. Many great attacking moves, and like it's clapping. I was like, yeah, okay, that's a great move. I was like, okay, this is going on a bit. Oh yeah, Andy Rowland,
yeah.
So, it's terrible, but no, it was such a different atmosphere about the game that.
Well, we got the first goal.
Start, yeah,
and you know, and that's probably a bit of luck. Maybe we haven't had for a while, so yeah. we got the goal, and then from then on, sort of totally in control all the way through. Really, wasn't it? It was a breeze.
It was. I mean, it was definitely a surprise. I mean, you expect Crewe to come out. I mean, normally when we've gone up there in recent years, they've given us a pasting. Mm. They've come here, and you know they didn't know how to defend at all. Mm. And we just rang rings around them so much.
It shows what you can do to, especially a group of young players, when you go out and fly out of the traps as quickly as they did last night. And that's what everyone's been waiting for quite a long time, to see them put that much energy and effort in the opening 20 minutes. It gets the crowd on side straight away. Goal inside 5 minutes is always going to do that as well. And they are just kids. They were missing a couple of their better players, Crewe as well, particularly Luke Murphy. That would have made a big difference if he was playing. But I think when you get out a team like that, when they don't really have any reason to come back from a deficit like two goals, then you're going to fall apart. And they did exactly what was required, and it was great to see. I think it's just fantastic that we get a bit of relief.
Yeah, I think the header off the line. I think was it 1-0 at that point?
Yeah,
I can't remember.
Williams,
but
yeah.
Yes,
I mean
yeah.
That was. I mean, everything went our way, really, didn't it?
Mm. Well, even with, I mean, later on in the game with Fodringham. Avoiding, in my view, sending off
the red to come out.
I was waiting for that red. That was. Mm. I mean, looking at it again today, Flint was there, was covering. I don't think he was far enough round and towards the goal to have actually prevented it being slotted in.
I think the referee took into account the heaviness of the touch, and it's got to be a clear goal-scoring opportunity. And was it a clear goal-scoring opportunity? I don't know. The ball was almost by the touchline by the time he'd gone over. So it's quite hard, you know. But maybe Wes has been lucky twice in the space of a week not to get sent off. Mm. He certainly was very, very lucky at MK Dons not to get sent off. Yeah. He's charmed.
You've certainly seen him given, as the old cliche goes.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's it. I mean, if it was at the other end, Swindon going out there, Andy Williams, knock it round the keeper, take him down, you'd be I mean, I'd want the opposition keeper sent off. I mean, it's just one of those, isn't it, really? That, you know, you just think he was lucky to stay on. Unfortunately, they scored the penalty. Mm. I mean, it's the only sort of blot on an otherwise fantastic performance. And it's great to see Adam Rooney getting the goals again, Steve.
Well, he's got a good... I don't know what his tally is for the season now, but it's looking pretty good, I think, isn't it?
Yeah, I think it's sort of maybe nine or...
Mm, yeah. I think it's... Yeah, it's pushing ten. I think it's quite eight or nine.
Well, considering how many games he's actually played, because he was out of favour for a long time, wasn't he? So, but yeah, I thought... I was really pleased for him. Striker scoring goals, that's what we want.
I mean, the surprise for me of the night was Andy Williams rejuvenated. The amount of pace he had, his running. I'm not sure if it's actually sort of to do with the amount of space he was given, the opportunity with the crew back line. But, you know, he certainly made a massive difference there, sort of pulling them apart.
I think a lot of that was done by Gary Roberts as well, who was pulling them all over the place. And when you've got a player like Gary in form and he's running and he's creating the space, and Rooney doing the same thing as well, then Williams is able to find those little angles. His first touch was back again. He was being able to bring it down, turn, run at players. And in this league, if he does that, he's going to cause some damage, and he showed that. And it was great to see, because, I mean, he hasn't been fully fit for a month or so either, with his ankle problems, and he hasn't been given the run in the team as well for those reasons and for others. And I think he is a very good player. He hasn't scored anywhere near as many goals as I think we would expect and he would like, but he certainly got it in him, and I think it showed that he's capable of those kind of performances.
And then, I mean, you mentioned Roberts there, and Roberts had that fantastic chance in the second half. he just sort of flung his legs at the ball down there at the town end and just hung his head there. I mean, he had a great shot earlier in the game from long range, just inside the opposition half, and that just sort of just went over. But again, it's really good to see the players that we should be relying upon this season to get us into a good position.
I think he always
finally comes through, isn't it?
Gary Roberts always gives a sort of honest endeavour. I don't think it's gone. It's not been the best of seasons for him, let's face it. But
Were you expecting so much more at the start of the season?
Oh, well, yeah, I think so. I think everybody was, weren't they, really? But it's not quite worked out for him this year, but there's flickers of, you know, the Gary Roberts we were probably expecting. So, you know, I think yesterday was a really good night for him, and barring the Tranmere away, I think that was probably his best. But aside from that, I think in the previous home game, I think he missed a bit of a sitter, didn't he, in front of the goal? But generally speaking, I think he's a good, honest player, and he tries hard, so... When it works for him, it works.
And it's interesting to see that we beat Crewe 4-1, and the type of team that they are, they like to come over here and play football, the style of football. And yet, you know, they didn't have a tall defence, no big, you know, central defenders like we've got in Flint and Ward, and we're able to, you know, play them off the pitch and run around them. Just be good if we came against more teams like that more often. But
thankfully, I think we'll come against one on Saturday, which gives a great chance of getting the 3 points you need for the playoffs, because Stevenage are fairly similar in that sense. And we saw when we went down there earlier in the season, though they didn't really show that turn up on the afternoon, there was a way of playing around them because they wanted to play football as well. So hopefully, fingers crossed, that bodes well for the weekend.
I think going into last night's game, there's a lot of doom and gloom. We've just been on the back of three defeats. But those three games were hard games, you know. I think even with our strongest team, we'd be confident of getting a result. We have been in the last year or two, but they were always going to be tough games. Our previous records at those clubs was always sketchy or patchy. But these next three, or the one we've had last night and the next two, I think are very, very winnable. So,
well, particularly as well, because as you say, we beat Stevenage away 4-0, wasn't it, back in October. Scunthorpe could be relegated by the time we play them on the final day, hopefully, if it's all to play for. Either way, it could go in their favour, of course, if we secure promotion, wishful thinking, of course, you know, the playoff place. But yeah, that's the contrast. I mean, you know, going back to earlier this season, even at the start of the year, when I was looking at the remaining fixtures, you always highlighted those run of games, starting from Brentford away, I think it was, right through to Milton Keynes, because that was rearranged. It's being tough. I mean, we were always expected to be really tested on those on that run.
Yeah,
and it showed in the end. The number of points didn't match up, and we obviously dropped all the way down.
But we're still up there.
But exactly. I mean, that's the thing. I mean, you know, it was such a surprise to come away from the Crewe game, thinking, Yeah, it's only 2 points now, taking into account the fantastic goal difference that we've got to actually be in that position. You know, I was expecting to be recording this podcast today saying Milton Keynes are only a couple of points behind now. It's going to go down to the final day. Who's going to Scunthorpe? You know, the season's really going to pop. But fortunately, you know, it's pulled around at the right time.
The season's defined as a whole in the entire league by a little burst of momentum from teams. There hasn't been one team that's decided that they're going to go on a long month, 2 month, 3 month long period of form. It's little 3-4 game bursts. If you think about it, after Yeovil, Town go there, they win 2-0, then Yeovil have that burst and they get up. Now they lose against Oldham, maybe they're on a bit of a downer, and then maybe Town go and win the next two and they're on the up into the playoffs. Yeah. And it's happened with Sheffield United, they've had their run, Milton Keynes have had their runs. I think the only consistent teams perhaps are Brentford and maybe to an extent Doncaster in the division. Because Bournemouth lost 5 on the bounce at one stage during the season.
Yeah.
It's a funny old league. I don't think we've known a League One like it for quite a long time.
Well, I mean, exactly. I mean, that's why it's disappointed, Steve. Why, you know, you haven't got the big teams that the league's had in recent years, Southampton, Norwich, your Leeds, etc. And that Town have had the opportunity and haven't been able to capitalise it. But also, I don't suppose that we're the only team to actually be thinking that, of course.
Yeah, of course, yeah. I mean, Coventry are in there, of course, and they're having a sort of dismal time, aren't they? But I think at the start of the season, a lot of people would have picked those to be, you know, up there. I know the off-the-field stuff doesn't help, but you'd still think a club of that size would be up there contending. But, yeah, so we're disappointed. I think the league was there for the taking. It hasn't happened, but we're in a great position still.
And if I can just... I did say at the beginning of the season, if we go back to the first podcast of it, I had 6th place down for Swindon at the start of the season. So I'm sort of sitting there with 2 games to go saying, well, I'll be a bit psychic here.
I had top 10, so I'll be right. What did you have, Steve, at the start of the season?
I would have been happy with playoffs. Let's just leave it at that. But yeah. No, I think I did well last year. I won £1,000 on us being champions, so quite pleased with that.
Drinks on you. If you've got any left. You've got to spend it. Brilliant.
Yeah.
Okay, so sort of moving on from the crew game and all the sort of positivities that can actually bring, sort of, you know, on the pitch moving forward. We also had the news off the field about the involvement or potential involvement of Lee Power. Lots of frantic Wikipedia and Googling sort of reveals quite a bit about Lee from his sort of days as a footballer and various business interests afterwards, which perhaps more defined him as a character moving forward. But Sam... Do you know a bit more about Lee? What can you sort of...
I know a limited amount about Lee Power himself, a limited amount about his involvement. As far as I'm aware, he's not here to take over the club entirely. He's here to be an investor. I think to brand him as a co-owner is fairly accurate. He's not passed a fit and proper persons test as we sit here and speak on Wednesday evening. He's not on the board as we sit here and speak on Wednesday evening as a result.
But of course, because we're recording a podcast, something will happen tomorrow significant. Inevitably. And this will all be out of date, so anyway.
Inevitably.
This is, you know, the time capsule, watch bad podcast, as always. Sorry, Sam.
It's all right. I don't think that he'll be on the board by the end of the week, to be honest. So I think he'll be fairly safe with that. They were always anticipating him to be on next week or even the week after. He, on paper... as a businessman, is an intriguing figure. He's had various businesses across a wide range of topics, some of which haven't gone particularly well, some of which he's been involved with and then left, and then they haven't gone particularly well. The explanations need to come out from him personally as well. The club need to... publicly define exactly what role he is having, although it's my understanding that he's being brought in with the experience he has within the game and within the sport to use that nous as a footballing investor, so to speak, while McCrory dabbles more in the community side, i.e. looking at the ways that they can develop the relationships with the town, develop the youth set up around the town, the football in the community, and any plans for the development of the county ground in the future, although they are limited at the moment. That's not one of the aims as I see it that they've got to carry out first. I can completely understand the unease that is generally around about his past dealings and the misgivings that people can have about him. I think the ones that are probably pulled up on are Create UK and Create Publishing. I think for Create Publishing, he wasn't involved with that company when that all came to pieces. He was involved with Create UK. I'm still not entirely aware of the specifics with Create UK and what happened with that. Obviously, the business has had trouble after he's left. They failed to pay royalties to clubs and they've been brought up legally because of it. It's something I feel that we need to have from him. He needs to be able to explain himself first whilst we look around and think, what is the positive of him coming? What is the negative? We've been told on the record by McCrory that he's bringing in money, believed to the tune of 1.5 million. That is roughly what McCrory has put in. People question how much McCrory has. I can say with confidence that he has a substantial amount of money behind him to you and me, though nothing in comparison to previous owners of the club. That said, very few clubs up and down the country at our level have that sort of money behind them. Yeah. However, you wonder, because of the shadiness, I think is probably a fair way of describing it, of some of those past interests, it can be seen as being a bit dodgy. I think that's the word that's being thrown around the most at the moment.
Yeah.
He is not the kind of character that people would associate with our club given the last 5 years. I think the difference in characteristics between the previous owners and the current owners are so vast that people instantly compare black and white and they come up with a grey that no one really wants. They need a time, I feel, to prove themselves. However, they haven't been clear enough. They haven't been public enough, even if they are talking to individuals off the record in pubs or in the Legends Lounge or whatever. Mm. So I have asked McCrory on a number of occasions to be more public. He is trying to do that. He's agreed today, which is Wednesday, to meet with the Supporters Club and Trust SDFC so that they can put questions directly to him about the way that he plans to take the club forward, about Mr. Power's involvement, about his own financial involvement. And he is going to do that hopefully within the next 10 days, organised by the advertiser. It's a situation where we look at it and we go, we don't really know what's going on. And because the fans don't really know what's going on, they translate little nuggets in various ways. There's positives, there's negatives.
I've got plenty of nuggets in front of me here. And Steve, you've done some little bit of digging on...
Well, I think like a lot of fans, I mean, we've gone, you know, Swindon Town fans have had a rough ride in the past. Let's face it, we've had a great last 5 years or so under the previous regime. The one previous to that, it wasn't so much fun. So I think at the, you know, the change is always going to be a challenge. And I think without clear answers to questions that fans have, there's always going to be speculation. People will do digging on the internet. I've done it myself. I think Ron's got some stuff here. Basically, yeah, you know, there's a lot of questions, and I think for me, one of the avenues, or certainly the avenue to take, may I plug the trust at this point?
Of course you can, yes.
Okay, so I've not had anything to do with the trust in previous times, but with a lot of concerns in my own head, I went along to the trust AGM recently and signed up as a member. I've actually become a board member as well while I was there. I don't know quite how that happened. But so I would urge people to join the trust. It's for the good of the football club, for the good of the longevity of the football club. So if you go to www.truststfc.com, they're also on Twitter at TrustSTFC. And if you have questions, I would urge you to put them through the trust, and then the trust will get answers for you, hopefully, to those questions. Hopefully in the forum that Sam's just suggested.
Yeah. In terms of, you know, Lee Powell, there's various sort of nuggets. I mean, you know, after he was professional footballer, as Sam said, moved into publishing and had successes in terms of securing contracts with a number of very high profile clubs to deliver match day magazines and other magazine publishing works. But for various reasons, that went awry, and obviously he needs to provide some further sort of clarification on that. I mean, the company which was Create Publishing, just trying to find this, yeah, was superseded by Create UK, is that
Create
right?
UK came first, yeah. Create Publishing was the second. He resigned as a director within a month, I believe, of Create Publishing being created, and it went to the rail several months after he had left it. I believe that he sold up, I can't confirm that exactly, but I believe he sold up to a group that then saw it go under. With regards to Create UK, which also had problems financially, I have yet to get the proper answers for that, so
yeah.
I'm not really willing to speculate too much on
it.
I mean,
it's interesting that Create UK was actually dissolved as of the 11th of April 2013. So
that
wasn't very long ago. So I mean, that kind of shows that he needed to put some past behind him, move on. But nonetheless, that company's been dissolved, and he needs to sort of provide some further clarification on that.
He created a company on the 26th of March called Swinton Reds 20 Limited.
You can't spell Swindon.
Yeah, this is. I don't know whether he's.
It's not Swinton. It's I'm not. Sure. It's not Yorkshire.
I can't say whether or not that's got anything to do with the club. But yeah. It is a new company.
We should be concerned that he's going to be supporting another team.
When he's finally on board, he doesn't start turning up to Yorkshire for the games, because it's going to be bitterly disappointing.
But I mean, going back to sort of, I mean, I've got an article here from July 2009 about Create UK, and after that sort of folding, I mean, at that time he had 13 former businesses, 13 former businesses, all 13 were then either in insolvency proceedings or had been dissolved. So it's obviously, as you say, I mean, it's difficult. We you know, as supporters, all that we can do is use Google, use Wikipedia, get all this information. We all want to hear what the individuals involved, you know, have to say about the various sort of points. In addition to his sort of business interests, of course, Power was involved first with Cambridge United. Back in 2006, was it 2008?
It was 2006. He went to Russian Diamonds in 2006.
Yeah, so 2006 he was at Cambridge United. He actually appointed Jimmy Quinn as manager, but he also had a stint himself as manager. I mean, that's so Cambridge at that time were in the conference, as they still are now. Left there because of, I'm not quite sure. I'm not sure if it's disagreements or
that's what Wikipedia says.
Yeah,
so I don't, until I speak to him, I don't know the answer.
Listeners, I know as much as you. I just use Wikipedia. Yeah. That's why we've got Sam here to give us a bit more information. And then after that, he moved on to Russian Diamonds. Now, Russian Diamonds are a very interesting case in football, proving that the benefactor model is flawed by rising up through the leagues, getting to League One, and then falling back down, and then falling out of existence altogether. And actually, Lee Power was involved at Russian Diamonds actually at the end, wasn't he?
He resigned as a director on the 31st of May 2009.
And when did they?
It went all wrong in 2011 completely. So it was just over 2 years after he left.
So what league were they in at that time?
I believe they were in the Blue Square Premier.
Okay.
What had happened was it was a Doc Martens film, was it?
Yes, Max Griggs.
Max Griggs, yeah. He was in charge there. He wanted to get out because we all know that kind of thing.
Yeah, we all know, right, yeah, because he doesn't get anywhere.
But he couldn't find a buyer, so he eventually gave the club, I believe, to supporters, but not the land.
Yes,
something like that. Or it was, and then they eventually caused trouble because it was unsustainable because of it. Power joined. He was there for 11 months, I think. I think it was June 2008 to May 2009. Whereupon he left. At least that's what he's registered as leaving. Then.
Yeah,
his directorship was terminated then. So whether we can contribute there fall partly to him, I don't know. I think people who've rushed in Diamonds would know more, but given the time frames involved, I would suggest that he is not hugely culpable for what happened there. I think the fact that it started before and ended after him would give the impression that whilst he may have played a part, I have no idea.
Yeah.
I think other circumstances contributed hugely.
Well, I mean, in terms of the Football League, and of course, I mean, you mentioned earlier, Sam, about the fit and proper person's tests. Having a look at that, from there, you know, one of their many considerations is that a club director, you know, would fail the fit and proper person says if they had been involved at least two football clubs which had suffered administration based or insolvency, general insolvency events. But that only applies to someone who'd been a director for 30 days before the event. So if he'd left and the event was, you know, 2 months later, then he wouldn't be tarnished by that within this. So if what you're saying, sort of, Sam...
I don't know when they went into administration either, off the top of my head. Yeah. I don't know what happened with it exactly, the fine details of when it happened. But, yes, you would think that it wouldn't be relevant.
Yeah, and it says as well, too, which I can't think of many football directors who have been involved at two football clubs. So, I mean...
Well, I think it's called the owners and directors test.
That's
now,
the one,
it?
Yes,
but,
yes.
But actually, I think it's fairly lenient, so...
Well, I mean, it is. I mean, as I said, I mean, two, you know, being a director at two football clubs, yeah. not many...
It's quite shocking with all the things that have gone on in football that it is quite lenient, but, you know, it is what it is, I suppose. But, yeah, I mean, I think the positives from it all, he's got a footballing background, and... that can only be good, I suppose, when dealing with agents and all that kind of stuff. That sounds good. Financially, the input, I suppose, we'll have to wait and see.
So do you think he's actually going to be coming in as a general manager or director of football in that sort of sense?
I don't
to get
so.
Involved in the football
side? I don't believe he will be prominent in terms of a face around the club. I believe he'll be in the background doing what he needs to do there. He needs to show to the fans exactly what he's going to contribute. Unfortunately, you know, we when Andrew Black came along in the first place, you had no need to prove that he had the money. I mean, he was co-founder of Betfair, and it sort of spoke for itself. You look at football clubs and owners, and whether they ever actually do ever show fans that they have this money. A lot of people take it for granted. If there's a way that they can, I think there's a very easy way for this board to show that they have intent and that they are transparent and that they have got the credibility that a lot of people doubt, and that is to show that they have the money in the bank at the club. However, if we're not going to believe them when they go on the record to say it, what are we going to believe when they come out and say? There's a lot of doubt because of the instability around the place. If we don't want to believe them, fine, but I think they ought to be given the chance to explain themselves before we judge.
But again, that's the point, though. They yet haven't answered those questions, and there is the opportunity for them to do so in the near future, hopefully. So obviously that'll all be sort of all dealt with at that time. And, you know, as Steve said, if everyone, you know, if you've got any questions, contact the Trust or Supporters Club with any questions that you've got, so they can obviously be raised to the board.
TrustSTFC.com.
Different plug. Good plug there. In terms of, you mentioned earlier about Lee Power's potential investment, do you know if that's equity or whether that's a loan?
I'm afraid as of now I don't know that. And I wouldn't want to speculate either way, because if I got it wrong, then I would be in trouble for all sorts of reasons. So I will find out, but I don't know right now.
Oh, maybe
I think everyone's mad keen to see it go well on the pitch, and it is going well. You know, we are in the play. We're nearly in the playoffs.
Oh, I cursed
we could
it.
Be in the playoffs.
Well, I cursed it earlier by saying we've been promoted. So.
So it's looking very promising. I think off the pitch, as I said earlier, I think Swindon fans have got every right to be concerned, because we've been there, seen it and done it, bought the t-shirt twice. So
and almost
it's only natural
time.
Yeah,
very
so,
close with that.
I mean, there's a lot, I think everybody's gone through the history of stuff and what ifs and maybes and all that kind of thing. The proof is the fact is that Jed and his consortium run the club now, so I think it's in everyone's interest to have an honest and open relationship, and if we can get that going through this forum that's proposed, then that will be really good.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I think he needed to open himself up to that, but at the same time he has to be given that opportunity now to do it, and if people then are still not satisfied, then continue to push hard at him. I've tried to get plenty on the record from him. He's been keen not to put a lot on the record for reasons that some of which I'm not sure of, some of which seem to revolve around the ongoing potential legal situation involving Paolo Di Canio. It's difficult to know exactly why he hasn't gone on the record with certain things, but I would say that he has been equally poor at communicating as the previous board were after the departure of Jeremy Ray. I think we've had this since October. In terms of communication, I don't think it's a new thing. And therefore, we have to treat them both the same, and we have to continue to push them. In terms of power, because he's so new to it, I believe he needs to explain it, but given the chance to explain it.
Yeah.
And then after that, we'll make another decision, another judgment of our own, and we'll see if everything really is not right, or whether we're being shaded by an understandable negativity.
Mm-hmm. I mean, it's interesting. I mean, it must be difficult for business people to come into a football club, a community setting, and, you know, previously business, a lot of it is private. A lot of it is in the boardroom. You don't have thousands of people you have to answer to necessarily. Obviously, it depends on the type of company and type, you know, shareholders. Mm. But a football club is a very different beast.
Absolutely,
you have a lot of inquisitive supporters, and we're sat around here on this table, and there's plenty of others, you know, out there. You know, they're not used to actually having to provide general people they don't know, people they can't necessarily trust with intimate business information. Mm-hmm. But yet everyone's asking for it, and everyone won't trust them, so to speak, until they provide it with them. So for people coming into that environment as new, I can understand why they would be reluctant to actually provide some elements of information, perhaps. Do you have a...
Well, I think, I mean, the previous regime obviously were very open. I mean, they had a very good setup, though, and so nothing really to be concerned about at all. For me personally, I want to be sure there's a football club there so that my kids can go to football, you know, in the future. And that's not something we can guarantee in any way, shape or form at the moment. I think we need the answers to the questions that people have. And as I said earlier, if we can get to that point, we have an open and honest relationship. Mm-hmm. Not looking for a Premier League club. We're not looking for millions to be pumped in necessarily or whatever, but if it's all about sustainability, fine. Let's just have all that honest stuff come out about what the situation is, and then I think we all know where we are, don't we?
Definitely. And indeed, if it is sustainability, which is a model which the previous regime also said themselves...
It is sustainability.
But you've also got to deliver it, but also supporters out there have got to realise that the club is being... has been subsidised heavily over the past couple of years, and that if sustainability is the model and there isn't... the equity investments and soft loans that there were previously, that's potentially going to have an unfortunate knock-on effect on the quality of players that can be brought in and the resulting impact. The worry that I have is that, for instance, if we didn't get promoted this year, you know, that promotion is worth an awful lot of money with the increase in TV rights in the Championship and the extent of that would help to offset against the need for the owners to pump in money. It's quite an important opportunity, this is, and that's why it's so difficult with how the season has progressed to miss the opportunity for an automatic promotion.
I think, I've been told reliably that it's around about £4 million more a year, but you've got to take into account that you'll be paying bigger wages and paying bigger fees, and that it's roughly 1.5 to 2 that you would bring in more after all the bills are gone. So that by itself is a good sum of money. My impression is that the new board are planning sustainability and to cut the wage bill. Now that makes sense because the wage bill is huge, and very few owners of a League One club will be able to afford the kind of wages that they have been in recent years. This is the size of it. I'm not entirely sure how much they plan to cut, or indeed whether it works. They took on the club based on Andrew Black's model for the rest of this season. Therefore, they had to put that money aside that was required to show that they could cope with his model then. And then they provided their own three-year model afterwards to see how they would go ahead and how they would build the club or rebuild it or however you want to see it after that. I think sustainability and success now so rarely go hand in hand in football that you hear the word sustainability and you think mid-table, and I think a lot of people will look at it and go, oh, because after what we've had. However, if they do show that they are capable of bringing a club together, a community together, and keeping the football club running and competing and producing entertainment, then whilst it's not what we had hoped for, it's at least better than one of the possible alternatives 2.5-3 months ago.
Yeah. And it's interesting, I mean, it's an entire different change of approach, and with Kevin McDonald as well, as manager, Bloody Moore, the youth players, hopefully we're sort of seeing more emphasis put on that foot as well, as a way in which the club has previously been able to generate significant sums of money through the youth system and player sales, which is something which, you know, in my opinion, Di Canio completely neglected in his time at
Swindon. Absolutely. I mean, there was a great article on the washback.com, fantastic website that, I don't know if you've ever seen it.
Oh, no. Never.
But the truth is that Paolo gave us amazing times, you know, bringing back the scarf wave and all that. That's one of my favourite things I've seen in recent years of football. You know, the whole fans, scarves aloft and all that kind of thing. But the fact of the matter is, off the field, the youth policy and all that, he wasn't interested at all. And now it is nice to see some of those lads coming through. And I think Swindon fans always like to see that happen. Over the years, the ones that have come through, they're always the sort of favourites if they can make it to the first team. So we're starting to see the fruits of that already, which is very soon into the McDonald regime. So, yeah, look, more of that, but obviously we need the experience as well. And I think possibly I'd like to have seen a few more experienced heads coming in during that last window. But, you know, the ones we have had in are, you know, there's a couple of good ones in there anyway. So, yeah, I think...
I think all in all, some important news there, Sam.
I doubt it.
Bringing youth through is always going to be a good thing, isn't it, for any football club.
And it's great to see Mark Francis, who the washbag.com sponsors as well with Josh Helm. But Mark Francis is getting some game time, which is fantastic. So good old Mark.
Got Miles' story waiting in the wings when he gets fit.
Yes, definitely. But sort of, yeah, back to the football. Looking forward to two remaining games of the season. Got Stevenage at home and then Scunthorpe away. I should be going to Stevenage, but I won't be going out to Scunthorpe. But so Sam, what do you expect? You touched on earlier about Stevenage.
I expect them to win on Saturday and a playoff place to be confirmed.
Yeah.
And then we can hopefully put quite a lot of kids out at Scunthorpe, unless there's a chance of fourth or fifth and McDonald decides that he'd rather play the team that might finish fourth than finish third.
Yeah.
But with the state of his injuries, which is just extraordinary, which people have forgotten about recently, and with a lack of players, I think he will rest them. So I think if we see the first 20 minutes like we did on Tuesday, again on Saturday, they'll beat Stevenage, and then go to Scunthorpe, have a nice day out at Scunthorpe.
You've been to Scunthorpe before?
Never been to Glanford before.
Well, you might change your mind.
Yeah. And then hopefully have momentum, maybe, to go into the playoffs. Whether or not that means anything is a debate that's maybe for another day.
Any thoughts, Steve, on those two final games? What two final games at the moment, anyway?
I do have a habit of being overly optimistic before games, so unfortunately...
Are you putting lots of bets for final wins, then?
I gave up betting a while ago on individual matches. But, the last night I felt we would win 3-0, and we won 4-1, so that's quite close, isn't it? And I think we'll win by a similar scoreline on Saturday. I think we'll really do Stevenage. Scunthorpe away, I'm not sure, but we'll have done enough to get to the playoffs then, I think. So, and then anything can happen.
Yeah.
But let's not get too far ahead of ourselves.
No, I mean, it's interesting. I mean, you know, on the assumption that we may be in the playoffs, they do come very thick and fast this year, because the Champions League finals also at Wembley for the second time in 3 years. The final, which we may or may not be in, it's on the 19th of May, but the two semi-finals are only days between each other, bank holiday weekend and then midweek.
It's the 3rd and 4th, it's all over, and then the bank holiday Monday.
So, put those dates in your diary, and could be quite a busy time going forward, but I mean, that doesn't help with what you say about injuries and sort of recovery time, really.
Well, we better not scupper it too much by talking too much about the playoffs.
I know. But,
there is a temptation. We're in a great position. Why not?
We're in a great position, definitely. Last night made a heck of a difference. So, Yeah, sorry for a long break in a podcast. Hopefully we'll have a couple more between now and the end of the season on the 19th of May. Maybe. One afterwards to celebrate something. But, there's a question here on Twitter. Drew Cameron. I know Drew. It says, can anyone explain to me why Simon Ferrer is currently playing in chicken shorts?
Children's shorts.
Chicken shorts
would be good.
I don't know what chicken
I can't
shorts
read,
are.
Actually. I don't know why I write this website. I can't bloody read this. So.
Simon Ferrer's hair has improved. But yeah. Since he's become a dad, he seems to have gone a bit more sensible.
Is he playing children's shorts?
I have no idea. Well, I'll
what
ask
about
him.
Chicken shorts? Were you asking him?
He'd probably be more likely to play in chicken shorts than children's shorts, knowing Simon Ferrer. But they never know. Might be from his retro clothes shop that he runs with his missus.
Well, thank you to Sam and Steve. I'm now going to go and buy some chicken shorts. good to speak to you all, and maybe speak to you all in a couple of weeks. Cheers, Sam.
Thanks very much. Cheers.